The series to start the new year is Newness of Life, or Walk in Newness of Life. So far in that series, we have learned the biography of every Christian is that old things become new. When we are saved, God is interested in making old things new in our lives. That is the biography, or should be the biography, of every Christian, that God is making things new in your life. God's showing you truth, and God's changing you from the inside to the outside, and old things are becoming new. Then we learned the Christian's companion, that being the Holy Spirit. And for 4 weeks, I preached through the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. If you are just coming in on this series, I would encourage you to get the CD. You can order that in your bulletin. You can fill it out, and you can get the previous CDs, or you can go online to sermonaudio.com, and our messages on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights are put on the internet so that you could listen to and you could catch up on what we've preached about in walking in newness of life. In our passage, the word new is used, and it's used in verse number 7. The Bible says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." If we're in Christ, one of the habits that we are to have as believers is to purge out old leaven. Old leaven. Leaven in the Bible always refers to that which is evil or that which is sin. It is always emphasizing that truth. In the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians, these books were given to a local church in Corinth, and they were given to address a number of church problems. The church at Corinth had the problem of division. The church at Corinth had the problem of immorality that we're reading about here in 1 Corinthians 5. The church at Corinth had the problem of brothers taking to court other brothers, which he addresses and says that's not to take place. We don't take other brethren to court. Numbers of problems in the church at Corinth. In fact, Paul addresses the church at Corinth as a carnal church. In this particular passage of Scripture, there are a number of things that they are guilty of. One is they're guilty of inflation. The Bible says that they are puffed up. They have grown prideful about their church when in reality there are deep problems within. Second thing that they're guilty of is insensitivity regarding sin. They are insensitive when it comes to sin in their own lives. And Paul has had to deal with that throughout the epistle. That's why there's problems, because there's not cleansing, there's not confession, there's not sensitivity to sin. Third thing that they're guilty of in 1 Corinthians 5 is inaction. They got a brother in the church that is having an incestuous relationship with his father's wife, and they're doing nothing about it. And Paul writes, and if you can understand the tone of what he's writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he's a little upset. He's not writing a comforting passage here. He's writing a passage and saying, hey, I got to point out some things that you better deal with in your church and in your own personal lives. And so I'm dealing with this morning this subject, a little leaven and the new lump. A little leaven and the new lump. Did they not know that a little leaven would leaven the whole lump? Look at verse number 2. "And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you." The very people who should have been most concerned about this situation were most complacent about it. There should have been some movement. There should have been some confrontation over this matter in the church. But rather than the church mourning and being broken over this matter, they decided to push that under the carpet and look at the things that they were good in and ignore the problems that were within. That's a dangerous place to be. Churches get that way today. We get puffed up. We're proud of sending out missionaries. We're proud of our missions program. We're proud of our ministries. But hear me, none of those things ever deal with sin in our personal lives. And God's not looking upon those things and saying, well, they're doing a lot of good work, I guess we won't worry about the sin. Oh no, sin is always a big deal to God. And that's why he deals with it directly in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. In fact, he deals with it so specifically that everybody in the church would have known what was going on. It was that big of an issue. I want to give you a number of points this morning on the subject of a little leaven and the new lump. Number one, look at the principle of leaven. The principle of leaven. In the days of wooden ships and boats, a ship or boat whose hull is known to have shipworms below the waterline is a ship that's in big trouble. In the 1700s, the British covered the hulls with copper. In the 1800s, they began to use creosote as a deterrent to keep the shipworms from getting in the wood of the boat and causing the wood to rot. Suppose a captain docks the boat, not concerned about the shipworms. The boat's given to harbor. It's protected from wind and adverse weather. All the while, the shipworms are infesting the boat underneath that nobody can see and weakening the structure altogether. You know, that's what leaven does in a life. Well, I've got this built in my life. I'm going to church and I'm reading my Bible to the best that I can. And I'm trying to be involved in the local church in a ministry. Oh, we're in harbor, but we're not dealing with shipworms. Hear me. We're not dealing with sin. And it looks good. The boat still looks good. But the underside of the boat, watch this, the underside of a life is not so good. Because we allow sin to continue in our lives. We allow sin not to be judged at the cross. And we don't agree with God and confess it. And we continue to exist with it as a believer. All the while, church is in place, Bible's in place, ministry's in place. But the shipworms are eating away at the inside. As we continue to approve sin in our lives, as we continue to be actively involved in sin in our lives, and the shipworms, watch this, the leaven continues to leaven the lump. And we're to be a new lump. We're to be without leaven. We're to deal with sin in our lives. But, preacher, no one sees it. No one knows it. But me, yeah, and they're shipworms. And they're eating away at the inside of your life. And you come and you hear preaching, and for 45 minutes on a Sunday morning, you're pricked. I know I need to deal with that. But for the next 6 days, you plunge headlong back into it. And you don't confess it, and you never rededicate your life to God, and you never get it cleansed in your life. And the shipworms continue to eat at your soul. It's a picture of the leaven in a person's life. You know that the nature of sin is that it spreads. A little leaven, the Bible says, know ye not, that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? The leaven must be dealt with. What does leaven do to bread? You put it in the dough, you set it in a warm place, and the bread begins to what? Begins to rise. When it gets to a certain height, you take that bread and you put it in the oven. Why? To stop the leavening process. Because if the leavening process continues, that bread's going to turn nasty. And so you stop the leavening process in the oven. If not, the whole loaf will corrupt and be rotten. Hear me, it's why preachers have to preach on sin. Because if we don't preach on sin and we don't deal with sin in our lives, hear me, we're going to become rotten. Spiritually, we're going to be rotten. And that's what Paul was getting at. Listen, you can't just let these things continue. In Romans chapter 6 and verse number 1, Paul writes to the church at Rome and he says this, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid!" And if I could say it louder, I would. And if Paul could have said it louder on the pages of Scripture, he would have said it louder. God forbid, we cannot continue down the pathway of sin. Leaven's a picture of sin in that it spreads, but leaven's a picture of sin in that it works secretly. It's small leaven, just a little leaven in the lump, but it works powerfully, and it works secretly. The sinning church member in Corinth was like a piece of yeast. He was defiling the entire loaf of bread. The church, the local church. It was like a cancer in the body that needed to be removed by drastic surgery. By the way, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if we go six chapters later in this book, Paul's saying when you come to the Lord's Supper and if you're sinning and you're not dealing with your sin, don't you dare partake because you will cause others or many to sleep to die. Is what the word means. That's how serious leaven is in the church, that it'll affect the health of others if we don't deal with it. That's why he says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Psalm 19, verse number 12 says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. You know what Christians are into today? Secret faults. Faults that nobody else maybe knows about, but you're living with them. Secret sin. In Psalm 90, verse number 8, thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. You know what the Holy Spirit has an uncanny ability to do? Bring up your secret sins in the light of who God is. That's what the psalmist testified of. He says of Esau, but I have made Esau bare. I have uncovered his secret places, and he shall not be able to hide himself. And in Numbers 32, verse 23, it says, be sure that your sin will find you out. Secret sin is not secret to God. And it's leaven. And it leavens the whole lump. In the New Testament, leaven became a symbol of the process by which evil spreads in the church. In Mark chapter 8, and verse number 15, the Bible says, and he charged them, saying, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. Why take heed to it? Why do I need to be alert to it? Because it'll infect me. It does not take much leaven to permeate the whole loaf once it's introduced to the dough. Yeast doesn't stay in the corner. Yeast spreads. A small sickness can eventually kill a body. And hear me, the power of secret sin in your life will continue to grow. And it won't stay there. Study the life of Cain. Here's Cain. Cain has an anger issue in here. Not everybody can see it. But Cain's anger issue eventually came out. Did it remain dormant? It turned into what? Murder. Murder. And then it turned into deceit before the Lord. Am I my brother's keeper? Lord, you would think of me that I would have to worry about Abel. Is that my responsibility? It grew because sin grows. It multiplies itself. It infects and affects others. Every Christian, hear me this morning. What you do in your private life is not private. It affects others. Your sin that you won't confess, and you won't forsake, I want you to know it poisons the church at large. It poisons it. Your sins of the spirit, your pride and stubbornness, bitterness, your sin of unfaithfulness to your mate, unfaithfulness to church, your sins of evil speaking and slander, drinking and smoking, your non-commitment, your flippant commitment to church attendance is affecting the whole of the church. It's a serious matter. It's leaven. And it's leavening the whole lump. And God wants to present us as a new lump. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 5, He wants to present us as a pure bride, the local church. Your refusal to hear godly counsel and follow it. Your resistance to spiritual authorities in your life. It's affecting the body. your lust that you have to war for to get, putting you in conflict with others, is affecting the body. Your undertow and resistance to follow the direction of leadership and the church is a leaven. It's infecting and affecting others. Know ye not? The Bible asks the question, the Spirit asks the question, know ye not that your leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Your excuses on why you can't do what the Bible says is sin. And it's affecting the body. I say this morning to you, purge it out of your life. Become broken over how your sin is affecting you and others. Understand the power of it. Understand that it's going to multiply itself. Understand the shipworm effect of your inner man. Let the Holy Spirit get to your heart's door and in your heart this morning and root all that junk out of your life. Fall on your knees and confess to the Lord the leaven in your life. Living with leaven is not a true picture of what a Christian should be. Purging out leaven is a true picture of what a Christian should be. Brings other believers down. It enslaves you. I want you to understand that Paul in this passage is, there's an urgency to this message regarding leaven. The urgency is to deal with it. In fact, in this particular passage, it's a passage of church discipline. That's not taught on or preached on very much today. But church discipline means that when you become a member of a church, you put yourself under its authority. And you put yourself under its doctrine and what it believes and how we live our lives. And this particular brother in the church was not living according to the Bible truth that was being preached and taught in that church. He was living an immoral lifestyle. And he was to be delivered unto the devil, the scripture says. That's strong. That's very strong. And you know how Jesus, how Paul told them to do it? He told them to do it in the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. Or that the authority to remove that man from that local body at that time was the authority that was given by Jesus Christ Himself. They had Christ's authority on that matter. That shows me the seriousness of leaven in the church. That if it's confronted, and obviously we know there are steps in church discipline where we go to a brother and somebody, we go in twos, but if that person does not respond, they cannot be part of the body continually. If they do not repent, they cannot be a part of that. And that's sad, but hear the heart of that this morning. The heart of that is restoration. Notice that the Bible says, turn him over for the destruction of the flesh, but that his spirit may be saved in the day of Jesus Christ. That spirit, church, if we have to ever go through church discipline, is not a spirit of hate. It is a spirit of love. It says you can't do that. You're affecting yourself. You're affecting the church family on this matter. We can't go that direction. And plead for that believer to turn away from that sin. That's important. There's an urgency. If you're living with known sin in your life, the healthy church is the self-correcting church. You say, preacher, what does that mean? What are you talking about? I'm talking about when you're on the wrong path, that you, through the Word of God and the Spirit of God, realize it. When you're involved in a known sin in your life, a private sin, you realize it. You confess it. You get it in the open before the Lord. You don't have to confess it to the whole body, but you need to confess it. You need to be cleansed of it. You need to forsake it. That's a healthy church. When believers are correcting and judging themselves, that's the way it ought to work. God does not condemn sin in the sinner and then condone it in the saint. Judgment, the Bible says, must begin at the house of God. Judgment of ourselves must begin here. That's why we have altar calls. That's why we give opportunities for you to correct things in your life, because the Word of God confronts us. And as it confronts us, it magnifies things that are wrong so that we deal with them, so that we get them out from our heart and get them turned over to the Lord and forgiven so that we can have fellowship one with another and with the Lord again. Principle 11 leads believers to the position of separation. This principle is important. Look at verse number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 11. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or railer, or drunkard, or extortioner, with such an one know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? What's the greatest danger, Christian? Somebody that's in the world that I'm working with that's a drunkard, or a drunkard within my church? A drunkard within my church. He that is called a brother, if he is living in known sin, the sins that the Bible's talking about here, idolatry, he's extorting money. He is drinking and becoming a drunkard. He's a railer. He's in fights. He's a fornicator. He's living immorally. Here the Bible says he's covetous. He's going after things in which he should not. What is my company to be with him? None. Ouch. That's strong. It also shows the seriousness of leaven in the local church. Because his instruction here is strong. Have no company with, in fact, don't even eat with them. And by the way, there are no hidden meanings. No company is no company. Not to eat is don't eat. Straightforward. Why, preacher? Why is this strong scriptural instruction given? First of all, to correct the offender. That brother needs to know, man, I want to have fellowship with you. I want to be able to enjoy company. But I can't enjoy company if you're participating in this. The picture here of the flesh is not somebody, the destruction of the flesh in the sense that his body is destroyed. The structure here and the thrust of this passage is the flesh is somebody who is strong and persistent and stubborn in their sin. It is not somebody that's putting up a struggle. Listen, if you're a believer here this morning and you're struggling through sin, but you don't want to be there. You're fighting it. Man, you give in to it. You stop and you confess. I say, God, I'm dealing with this. I'm battling with this. That's not who it's talking about here. Who it's talking about here is somebody that flippantly continues in it and says, I love my sin and I don't want to give it up. That is the person the Bible's dealing with here. And the Bible says if you're a friend to somebody like that and he names himself to be a brother, he's a dangerous person. He demands separation. He demands that we pull apart. It's to correct the brother. It's to protect you. The reason we separate is to protect us. We're not to fellowship with persistent brethren who are persistent in their sin. The principle of leaven. Secondly, the purging of leaven. Look at verse number 7. Verse number 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ is our Passover, For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Now, to shed some light on this passage, I want you to go back to Exodus chapter 12. In Exodus chapter 12, we have Passover. That's a feast that the Jews would celebrate, okay? They would come together and they would celebrate the Passover. In the New Testament, the Passover is represented by Christ's sacrifice for us. Before they approached Passover in the Old Testament, they were to go 6 days through their home. And they were to get out anything that would be representative of unleavened bread. Watch this. That was anything that would have been associated with Egypt and where they came. 6 days leading up to Passover, they were to clean house, so to speak. Look at Exodus chapter 12, verse number 18. The Bible says, in the first month of the 14th day of the month, at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month, at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened, in all your habitations shall ye eat unleavened bread. They were to purge their homes. And I think there's spiritual application here in the New Testament, because Paul makes it in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Purge out the old leaven. Christian, you're a new lump before God. As ye are, the Bible says, unleavened bread. When you come to Christ, you are presented as a pure testimony, as a pure individual to the Lord. As ye are presently, unleavened bread, but practically, make that true. Practically, purge out the old leaven. Positionally, this is who you are. Practically, be that kind of a person. Purge out the old leaven. Purge out the things that you used to give yourself to before you got saved. Purge out any trace of worldliness in your life. Purge out images or idols in your home that you worship. Purge out filthy movies in the DVD libraries or in your computer files. Purge out the rock and roll and country western music. Purge it out. That's all world. That doesn't belong in the life of a Christian. You're unleavened. Live that way, is what he's saying. Purge out contemporary Christian rock music. Purge the chew off your dressers. Purge the cigarettes out of your pockets. Purge the beer out of your refrigerator. Purge the immodest clothing. Purge the magazines where you gave your eyes to the lust of the eyes. Purge it. You're a Christian. You're a new lump. And God's not interested in the old leaven in your new lump. We're to walk in newness of life. Purge these things out. Today, churches are accommodating sin. They're just coexisting with it. Never want to speak up specifically about anything. I want you to know they're like adding a screened-in porch to protect against wasps without removing the wasp's nest. We need preaching on sin. We need preaching on specifics. We need that help. We need that stuff to be purged out. Scary place to be if you're continuing in sin and it doesn't bug you. Scary place to be if you're continuing in sin and you don't care. Scary place to be when you're continuing in sin and living under Bible preaching and it doesn't touch you. And it doesn't bother you. And it doesn't break you. And it doesn't cause you to wiggle in your seat because I'm not right with God. Scary place to be. Scary place to be. As a believer, when something gets to the point of discipline in the church, we're not just saying we think what you're doing is wrong. We're saying we've tried. We've tried to help you. We've tried to draw you to the Lord. We've tried to plead with you. Get that junk out of your life. And you have repeatedly said, I want it. The Zika virus is a feared disease that is spread by mosquitoes. The nature of the virus is heartbreaking. Its damage is most notable in that the infants of infected pregnant women are born with a disease that causes severe brain defects in unborn children, eye defects, hearing loss, impaired growth. What would you think if we found out that there was a nest of Zika's mosquitoes that were carrying the Zika disease, and it was out here in a puddle of water out in our driveway. And we decided not to. It's not affecting me. I'm not worried about it. You know, let somebody else take care of it. Suppose we allowed the breeding ground to remain and the Zika virus spread. And it got to one of our pregnant mothers. That mother had that baby. They did tests on that baby and found that baby was going to have deformities, have diseases that it would carry with it the rest of its life. All because we didn't deal with Zika, with the mosquitoes. Brethren, sin is much more serious. And we don't control who our sin touches. But we do control whether or not we sin. And we do control whether or not we confess our sin and forsake it. And Proverbs 28, verse number 13 says, "Whoso shall confess and forsake his sin shall have mercy." There's mercy to the person that confesses it. Ye are unleavened, Christian. Live who you are. You're living with known sin. You walk out of this building unchanged. I'm going to do what I'm going to do, essentially, is what you're saying. No burden of guilt. You're a reflection of what's taking place in 1 Corinthians 5. And that means you're going to, sin's going to multiply in your life because of the principle of leaven, and it's going to infect and affect others. Very serious passage. Look at verse number 8, verses 7 and 8. "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Question, is the Bible saying here that we ought to go back and live under Old Testament feast and keep the Passover? No. What is the feast for the local church in the New Testament? The Lord's Supper. You know what he's saying here? We ought to keep the Lord's Supper. But we ought not to keep it with malice and wickedness. We ought to keep it with sincerity and truth. The supper is basically discipline in a miniature form. It's intended to provide many spurts of warning every single time a Christian partakes of the elements. Now, we had scheduled to take of it tonight. Lord willing, we'll be able to take of it next week. But no one is supposed to come to the Lord's table without first examining himself or herself. That is a primary truth in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I believe the church, the local church as we know it, has grown far too casual with this meal. It is to be a time of examination and cleaning. Now watch this, believer. In reality, we are to be cleaned every day. We get in the Word of God. The Word of God reveals to us what's wrong, and we confess our sins to the Lord every day. And we renew fellowship with the Lord. Sad to say, we get lazy in that discipline. So the Lord built something else in. He built the Lord's Supper. And let us keep the feast, but let us keep it not with malice and not with wickedness, but with sincerity and truth. I'm to come to the feast. I'm to come to the Lord's Supper. And I am to come and say, "Lord, if there's anything between me and you, Lord, I want it cleansed out of my life. I want leaven removed. Lord, I didn't speak right to my boss this week. I spoke behind his back. And Lord, I know that's not how we treat authorities. And so Lord, the Spirit brought that to my mind. And Lord, I want to be clean with you. So Lord, would you take that sin? And Lord, would you cleanse it from me?" And the Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Lord, I didn't witness to the person that you prompted me to witness to. Lord, forgive me. Lord, I took a second look at something I should have never taken a second look at. And Lord, that's sin. And Lord, it's the Spirit brought it before me. And Lord, I'm wrong. And Lord, I want it cleansed. Brethren, that's the way Christianity works. That's the way it's supposed to work. But we get inflated. The reason we get inflated is we compare our lives to other people's lives instead of the Word.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.